to whom it may concern. I am a student here at the university, and I want to express my absolute distaste over what I saw at the university today. This is a place of learning, yet as I walked by the Student Union building, I saw nothing but display of ignorance and fear-mongering. Allowing an organization to post up propaganda that is used to demean, confuse, and judge others should not be allowed on campus. I am, of course, talking about the anti-abortion display set up at the bus loop. Children and families use this space.
It is not just the students who see such a display, but it is members of the community and those who might be struggling with such a personal decision. Regardless of what side of the issue you are on, the display is too graphic to be allowed and shown in such a public place. This is a letter that was delivered to the Campus Women's Center following the CCBR being on campus, and it kind of sums up what Amberly and I are going to be discussing. So just to introduce myself, I'm Brittany Adams, and I am one of the students who helped to organize the Students for Choice Action Group here on campus. Students for Choice has now been ratified into an official club, complete with an executive and constitution. Before I actually start this presentation, though, I want to start with a caveat, and that is that as a graduate student, I am restricted from being on the executive of the Students for Choice group, and therefore I'm going to be very careful about speaking on behalf of the group in general. But more specifically, our discussion and presentation in general is going to be on the university as a safe space and how the Canadian Centre for Bioethical Reform, CCBR, as Carol has suggested, disrupts this safe space.
Just going to introduce myself quick. So I am the mother of three rugrats who are aged 7, 5, and almost 3. I'm a full-time student here at the University of Lethbridge working on two majors, the Women and Gender Studies and Native American Studies. I'm also contemplating a master's degree or a law degree once done my undergraduate degrees. I serve on the board of directors for CKXU 88.3 FM, which is the campus and community radio station located here at the University of Lethbridge. I'm also the elected chair of events for the Students for Choice, which is the newly student-ratified group here on campus. I am the head of the Southern Alberta Hippie Parenting Group, and I volunteer with Pride Centre, Women's Centre, Students for Choice, and Club Didi. I help to organize and also perform in the 2014 Lethbridge production of the Vagina Monologues in an effort to bring awareness to violence against women across the world. I have also given speeches on the topic of reproductive rights and body autonomy in Lethbridge, so my participation of this presentation comes from my previous epistemology.
So we're here, as Carol suggested, with the second year that the CCBR had been on campus. They're able to book space here on campus through the Students for Life Club Group, which is ratified by the Students' Union. However, and interestingly enough, it's been our experience that the CCBR is not widely supported by other groups or students on campus who identify as pro-life. This is largely because of the graphic images that the group uses. The CCBR has argued somewhat successfully at other universities that have tried to restrict their images that their use of graphic imagery is in fact a form of freedom of speech or freedom of expression. However, their use of these images has not been, in my opinion, well received on campus. For example, on the U of L Facebook confession page, which has been a really hot thing as of late, one person commented, and I quote, "Let them," meaning the CCBR, "do their educating on the subject that they feel so passionate about. But don't make people see those grotesque images. Don't they realize that if they want people to listen to them, do not put them under emotional trauma. No one knows what every student is sensitive to, so give the people the choice whether or not they want to see those images or not. You can convey a message without having to traumatize those that you are trying to reach." And I think this is actually a fairly good representation of the thrust of Amberly and I's discussion today. In my experience, these images have been emotionally triggering and detrimental to the overall health and well-being of students on campus.
The question I've come to ask myself and inquire of others is, at what point does the mental and emotional wellness of students, staff, and community members get trumped by freedom of speech? In Mike Mann's letter that went out the day before the CCBR presentation to staff and students, he stated, quote-unquote, "Last year, this debate was very emotional for participants. My hope is that despite differing opinions on the subject, participants continue to remember that such debates are critical to our democracy and are a reminder of the role of universities in our society. If there are members of our community that are feeling distress, I would encourage you to seek help through counseling services through the University of Lethbridge or contact Employee and Family Assistance Program. When I called into counseling services the next morning, I was told that the wait to get in to see the counselor was 3 weeks or more. Today the wait is still over 3 weeks and I have at time, sorry, excuse me, today the wait is still over 3 weeks and they still call and cancel appointments, and so after the cancellation of appointments, it extends the wait time to 6 weeks because it's another three weeks to get in. Today, Mike Mann had suggested to potentially traumatize students and staff that could not actually help them in their time of need. His suggestions were not helpful whatsoever. Because of this, the Women's Center set up peer counseling immediately open to those who walked in. When furthering my investigation into the helplines that Mike Mann provided, a colleague at the Women's Center called the Family Assistance Program, the other number that he provided. After one dropped call and being put on hold for a time, she got through to a woman who was confused as to why she had their number. The woman from Family Assistance Program stated that this was for employees of the university, not the students, suggested counseling services, and furthermore did not have any information on reproductive services.
And just quickly, I'd like to share with you an experience that I had with a student who came into the Campus Women's Center while the CCBR was on campus. One international student who at the time was pregnant and considering abortion was approached by one of the CCBR people who asked her what she thought of abortion. After confronting this person that she thought she may be pregnant and was considering abortion, she was told that this was the wrong choice and that she needed to consider keeping the baby. This student was so traumatized by this encounter that she was terrified to talk to anyone else on campus for fear that her choice would not be supported. She also suggested that this led her to question whether or not Lethbridge was a, quote, religious community where no one would support her choices for abortion. She was so scared to talk to anyone else about it that she ended up taking abortion pills online and therefore wound up in the hospital for dehydration. While places like the Campus Women's Center exist on campus to try to fill in these circumstances, certainly instances like this one do not need to be provoked in the first place. In response to the CCBR on campus, the Students for Choice group attempted to raise concerns over safe space to the president of the university. After sending a formal letter to the president about this issue, this was the response that I received. Dear Brittany, thank you for your note. I appreciate hearing your comments on the activities that have been occurring on campus this week. This is an issue that has been challenging for our community in the past and will continue to be challenging in the future. Knowing the different viewpoints that are held by those in our community will help us address these types of issues in the future. So this same email was the universal response to those who noted to Mike Mann that they felt unsafe on campus. It's really interesting to think that people's emotional and mental health are considered viewpoints. The other interesting thing about this language is that it clearly attempts to position the presence of the CCBR on campus as a debate where different viewpoints can be expressed and discussed. And I don't buy the suggestion of this debate, and I don't buy it for two reasons.
So a debate suggests that there are two prepared sides of an argument that have each had the same opportunity to present their material. And in regards to that, Students for Choice has attempted to move forward with organizing a formal debate between themselves and the Students for Life group. This suggestion has not been well received. In fact, this year, the CCBR deliberately attempted to relocate one of their training sessions so that myself and other students on campus were unable to sit on their volunteer orientation in order to better understand their positionality. In this scenario, we were very deliberately excluded from participating when the group fractioned off without discussing it with us, then proceeded in delivering a secondary presentation on abortions. When some of us joined the secondary group that had moved, we found out that their found space was not booked through the university, and they started to present very graphic imagery without formal permission. We were also asked to leave by them.
And the second reason why we question this sort of positioning of this whole event as a debate on campus is that we would argue that these images are being shown in places where people have little or no chance of avoiding them. For example, this year, the images were set up, as Carol suggested, by the bus loop. It then becomes the onus of community members who are on the bus and who are sitting in the bus loop and are then being exposed to these images without sort of any prior warning or any prior messaging that these pictures are being shown. Further, the group deliberately scheduled their days on campus to align with October convocation dates, which draws parents and other community members to campus. Even if the warning signs are put up to signal that there are graphic images on campus, this does little to quell people from being exposed to them due to the fact of the vastness and locationality of these images. The only way these images could be somewhat censored was organized through the Students for Choice group in what has loosely been referred to as the umbrella brigade. It was composed of groups of volunteers with umbrellas who would shuttle students back and forth along where the images were being shown, carrying open umbrellas to shield students from looking at the images. While this was fairly well received by students, as you can see here in the Lethbridge Herald, which was great, it did require a pretty extensive amount of time commitment, particularly from community members and volunteers who were all there on their own free will. In most other circumstances, it would be the job of the university to see to the mental and emotional health and well-being of students. For example, the University of Alberta has recently implemented policies through their students' union to see to the protection of students by creating a safe space. Your policy notes?
No student shall disseminate or cause to be disseminated malicious or defamatory material or engage in activity which creates a social or academic climate that hinders or prevents the full participation of another person or group in the life of the university. Clearly, the CCBR has met this criteria on the University of Lethbridge campus. For example, one teacher's assistant on Twitter commented on October 17th, quote unquote, "I teach lab today. I have avoided the university for 2 days, but can't any longer."
Now, when myself and another member of the Students for Choice group approached an executive member of the Students' Union here at the University of Lethbridge in order to sort of change bylaws and implement similar bylaws, we were told that simply it's very difficult to amend university bylaws, and that if we wanted to make such a change, we would have to collect information on how other universities have implemented similar bylaws. In other words, yet again, the onus would be on us and we would not be receiving any help from the university on this.
In conclusion, within the academic calendar on page 10, there is a section titled Our Commitment to Our Students. One of these commitments read, "The University of Lethbridge is student-centered. By supporting and encouraging the growth of students as a whole person, in an atmosphere of engagement, freedom from discrimination, and the responsible use of authority." Which leads to the aforementioned question, at what point does the mental and emotional wellness of students, staff, and community members get trumped by freedom of speech?
If the university community is in fact committed to creating a safe space, I wonder how many complaints need to be lodged against this group for tangible change to occur. The 250 complaints lodged last year concerning the CCBR on campus had little effect. An organized walkout on campus this year seems to have had little effect. Meetings with the students' union seem to have little effect. As said by Gandhi, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. It is my hope that this change will someday be realized in a way that is conducive to a safe and productive learning environment at the University of Lethbridge. Thank you.